Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just an exhortation. There is nothing I'm saying now that is new. It's just to remind us. Keep reminding us. And there is a need for us to keep reminding each other. That is the work of the fivefold ministry. And particularly to followers of this ministry. There's a need to remind us, hallelujah, of where we are coming from in the agenda of redemption. Where God has brought the church from, where we are now, and where we hope to be. It is this knowledge that establishes us in the present truth. There is the present truth. Hallelujah. Brethren, there is the present truth. And the burden I have to keep repeating some of these things is because of what I observe among our members, even members that have been here for years. See, when I see some things, we see your Facebook, we see your testimonies, those of us who are even ministers, who serve in this church as ministers, when they live here, what we see them do, some who are even here, and the activities outside there with other ministries, other ministers. There are people sitting down in this ministry. Some of them are even ministers. That, I give one example, that still believe that, which language will I use? They see nothing wrong with woman ministers. And they promote women ministries. Directly or indirectly. We watch you all. We see people who come to this church, and by the way you behave, we know you don't understand why God brought you here. So it's our duty to say some things and keep saying it and believing that if you didn't understand yesterday, today you will understand. Today we're looking at a topic that I call the rapture pulls. I title it the rapture pulls. Then the next thing, of course, we are at the end time. Everybody is talking rapture, 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 rapture. Everybody is so believe. Everyone, every Christian knows this world is going to end and there's going to be a rapture. Even the Catholic Church believe it. That one day we are going to go to heaven. But how it will take place, that is the problem. And let me tell you something. The rapture has started. Pastor, what did you say? The rapture has started. You want to travel to abroad. Let me use maybe to Europe, to America. Your journey begins with getting a visa. In fact, getting a passport. International passport. Travel passport. And you won't even talk because you have international passport. You say you are traveling to America, traveling to Europe. You cannot say you are going to Europe until you have gotten a visa. Now, when you get a visa, you can tell everybody. But you are still in Nigeria. But you have the visa to go to Europe. Christ in you, the hope
people glory.
Oh, praise the Lord. Even if you die, there is a resurrection morning. If the spirit of him that raised up Christ dwells in you, that is the hope of resurrection. But there is a process. You must book a flight, and you may not get seat on the flight that you want. And even in the flight, there is economy, and there is business class, and there is first class. Depend on which one you can afford. You may have your money, you may not have a seat. Listen. Even after you have booked a flight, you have not yet traveled. You are still preparing to travel. Even after you have entered a plane, you have not yet gone to Europe. Because even when you fly and you reach the immigration, it's still waiting for you to give account of yourself. There will be inspection. We shall see it. There is a wedding garment. Until the immigration officer say, welcome to Germany. Then you say, thank you. And then you enter. Then you can say, I have arrived. So you can see the process. So it is with salvation. Don't sit down there and hope to be in the rapture and not get prepared to be in the rapture. And the only reason is because you do not know the process. If you do not know the process, how will you go there? That is what the fivefold ministry is all about. And I am part of this fivefold ministry. Praise the Lord. Now the commoners in the end time message, the followers of the ministry of William Branham, there is a very interesting subject title, a top sermon title that William Branham spoke about, the thought pool. And some of them have presented in various ways to suit their understanding. And listen, there is a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let's read it. Verse 7, let's read it up to verse 10.
And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue what is it to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air.
I want to take it again. Okay, verse 10 actually is my emphasis.
There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification.
I will take it again. I will take it verse 10. Let me read it, verse 10. That verse 10 again. Listen very well. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world. That is my emphasis. He said, and none of them is without signification. Every preacher is a voice. They're saying something. And everyone, what is saying has a significance. There is something that voice is expecting to achieve. And listeners will respond accordingly, according to what they have heard. Praise the Lord. And a lot of people have spoken about the rapture, which is what we see in the pools. The pool here is God pulling his people from earth to heaven. Hallelujah. God is pulling his people. That is what is called the rapture. Praise the Lord. That is what we call the rapture. And it is called the pool. God the process of God pulling his people from earth and pulling them to heaven. Praise Master Jesus.
Hallelujah.
It's an exhortation. I will not take too much of your time on long, long reading, but I'll give references so that you can read it on your own and catch exactly, you know, maybe get a better understanding. Praise the Lord. Now, listen, church, and please lend me your ears. This will be an opportunity for you to catch something. When Apostle Paul speaks about the effort to establish the believer in the present truth, why is he calling it present truth? It means there is a former truth. Revelation is progressive.
Amen and amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Revelation is progressive. It is from faith to faith, from revelation to revelation. Romans chapter 1 verse 17 says so. From revelation to revelation. From faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. And he says, and without faith, no one can please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The Bible says so. That is without revelation. Without revelation, it is impossible to please God. And those that are justified live by revelation. God guides us by revelation. Praise the Lord. This faith revelation comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I am also a voice. Listen to my own understanding. Compare it to others that you have heard. The one by the Spirit of God inside of you. The deep, call it to the deep. There is a deep to respond.
Right.
Praise the Lord. There is a deep calling. There is a deep to respond. If you have the Holy Ghost, if I'm speaking the truth, there will be a witness in you. Yes. For the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth.
Amen.
And look at the picture I gave you. I'm giving you. And see, compare to what you hear. That is the reason why we take time. We have been responding to a preacher in Nigeria by the name of Dr. Abel Damina, who is our modern day Himanios and Philetus. That are saying fundamental doctrines that establish the believer that they are expired. Himanios and Philetus, they were teaching the resurrection that we are all expecting till now. He said it has taken place already. No more resurrection. Because they saw the resurrection that took place in Matthew 27. Therefore, there is no more resurrection. They were misplacing scripture. Like Abel Damina says, water baptism has expired. Abel Damina says there is nothing like generational curse. I replied him yesterday.
That's right.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
And his likes, all these motivational speakers, Oyakhilome, Chris Oyakhilome, he said that it's nothing like eating in the dream that it is bad. He said, do you think that Satan will be so good, love you so much, he will give you food to eat in a dream? And he was speaking against himself without knowing. It simply means if Satan gives you food in a dream to eat, it's actually no food he's giving you. He's giving you problem to eat. And I gave him the scripture that said the carnal man does not understand the things of the spirit. For they are spiritually discerned. Praise the Lord. And some of these people are confused. At the end of his message, Ebed Damina was conducting deliverance. And yet he's saying there is nothing like generational curse. And he was breaking it. So we need to speak. In fact, he does not believe in communion. There should be nothing like communion. The ordinance of communion has expired. Turning the gospel upside down. And thousands of people are hailing him. Hailing him. Ah, this Bible is true. This Bible is true. Praise the Lord. Therefore, listen, for faith, revelation comes by hearing. Take what you hear very seriously. Take heed to what you are hearing from us. Because there are many voices in the land, and none of these voices without signification. Apostle Paul says so. Therefore, study. What do you study for? To rightly divide the word of truth. Study, rightly divide the word of truth. And in this age that we are in, oh, glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Jesus Christ was speaking to his disciples in Luke chapter 10. Maybe we'll just read it, verse 23 and verse 24.
And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them.
You know, Joel prophesied of this thing that will happen in Joel chapter 2, but he didn't see it. Isaiah prophesied the coming of the virgin birth. He didn't see it. The psalmist, King David, many psalms concerning Christ, but he didn't see him. Oh, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Those things, even Abraham desired to see a city. Oh, glory be to God. He looked forward to it, but he didn't see it. Amen. And it is because they were waiting for us. Without us in the agenda, no, that mystery cannot be completed. That's why I say, blessed are you. Blessed are you. Praise the Lord. Study, so that you will know the grace of God upon your life. The type of love that God has showed you to bring you to where you are today in his plan for salvation. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, he says, behold, he said, I show you a mystery. Behold, I show you a mystery. But this mystery, according to Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you read it from verse 6 to verse 16, he said, this mystery is hidden from the foundation of the world. It has been hidden. Hidden from whom? Hidden from the wise and prudent. Hidden from those who think they know. Hidden because it cannot be known in a theological institution. It cannot be known by intellectual perception. It cannot be known through any form of wisdom. Oh, praise the Lord. It is known only when God himself comes down and reveals it to you. And because he will only reveal it to his own, that through foreknowledge of whom he knows, how they will respond when he reveals it to them. For he knows the end from the beginning. He got our names written through foreknowledge. He knew us and wrote our names in the book of life. And we are the people, the reason why he went to the cross on Calvary. And when he's speaking to us, he speaks because he knows we are a mixed multitude following him. And because salvation is not for all, they hate to hear me say this. Salvation is not for all. If everybody's name is written in the book of life, then salvation will not come by way of preaching of the gospel. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen, because it is not for everybody, he speaks to us in parables. And so, you see that in Matthew chapter 13, verse 10 and verse 11. After he speaks to them in parable, he will come to his disciples and see the discussion that takes place. Verse 10.
And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables?
Why are you speaking unto the people in parable? This is his answer, verse 11.
He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given.
Again.
Because it is given unto you.
Who is the you? The disciples. And these disciples, he called them personally. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. He called them personally. Personally. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And unless Jesus Christ calls you personally, and he calls you personally, amen, to have a personal relationship with you, it is his own. And watch it. Who are these ones that he calls? It's not just anybody he sees on the road. He bypassed everybody and saw Matthew and called him. He baptized everywhere. He followed and went to the river there to see Peter. He bypassed everybody. While he went to look for Peter, there was another one that followed him. Master, I will follow you. He will look at him and say, see the condition to follow me. Did he give Peter any condition? He was telling the man, you just they follow me because they see miracle signs and wonders. He says, see, the Son of Man has no place. Foxes have a hole, birds have a nest. But this man, you don't get where to put your head. You go follow this campus, see? If you will follow me, you will carry your cross and follow me. If it is because of prosperity, you will go back. Emmanuel, Philetus, Demas. Praise God. And today there are many people that are following Jesus for prosperity, not for salvation. Hallelujah. And so, because he said, no man. Oh, well, of course. Read for me again. That very verse again. Matthew 13. Read again.
Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven.
It is given. Now, who gave you? It's from above.
But
it's from above. Yes?
It is not given. For whosoever asks, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath.
My emphasis is that verse 11. Why are you speaking to them in parable, verse 11 again?
Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given.
Who are these them? Hallelujah. That is why he speaks in parable. But when he comes to the disciples, when they are alone, he will now explain the meaning of the parable he spoke in the crusade. He leaves the rest to give their own interpretation on their own intellectual interpretation. Go and baptize in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy. Why didn't he just say, go and baptize in my name? He spoke it in parable. But when he comes to his own, he will let them know, what is that name? Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that is why he told Peter in Matthew 16, Who do men say are the Son of Man? And Peter said, Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And he told him, flesh and blood, no human being has revealed it. So for you to know that I am Christ, the Son of the living God, it is my Father in heaven that revealed it to you. Because in Luke chapter 10, he said, verse 22, he said, no man knows who the Son is, but the Father. So if it's only the Father that knows the Son, it will take the Father to reveal to you who the Son is. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so why we say salvation is not for all, one of the scriptures is that in Matthew chapter 11 verse 28, Jesus said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But the same person that said, come to me, all, the same him that said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth should not perish. The same thing came to verse 44 of John chapter 6 and said, no man can answer that call and come to me except the Father that sent me draw him. Amen. And when he draw him, I will raise him up at the last day. Amen. The assurance of the rapture. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So why is he not drawing everybody? Why is everybody not coming? Amen. And this answering of this call, everybody will come, but God knows his own. He knows who he is actually calling. And he said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. In John 6:37. All. And whosoever come to me will no wise cast away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is why you must understand that not all that say, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom. That is in Matthew 7 from verse 21. Not everyone that say, Lord, 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 but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What is the will of God? There is the perfect will of God and there is the permissive will of God. Praise the Lord. There is acceptable sacrifice and there is a sacrifice that is not acceptable. And this acceptable sacrifice will only come by revelation. That's why verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 11, he said, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith, by which he, Abel, obtained witness that he was righteous. Righteousness is doing the perfect will of God. And it comes by revelation. For without revelation, it is impossible to please God. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Because all of them came to worship God by a revelation they both have. But one was the correct revelation, the other one was not correct. That is why he said, not everyone that said, Lord, 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 not everyone that is worshiping God, not everyone that is going to church, not everyone that is fasting and praying, not everyone that has ministry, some of them very big, 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 big ministry, not everyone shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Who is it that will enter? But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And watch verse 22. Praise the Lord. He said, many will say to me in that day. Which day? The day of judgment. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? So that you prophesy will not, is not the evidence you go to heaven. And in thy name have cast out devils, deliverance ministers. It's not condition to go into heaven. And in thy name done many wonderful works, including donating money to churches, donating money to orphans, paying big, big tithes and offering, and doing mighty miracle signs and wonders. He said, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. He said, depart from me, ye that walk iniquity. Amen. Now, these are the kind of scriptures when you read, then you will understand why Apostle Paul said, walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Why? Because many are called, few are chosen. The rapture is a mystery. Note this mystery of these pools that will pull us from heaven, from earth to heaven. We are going to be pulled away. After we are gone, this earth will be cleansed with fire. The process of taking us, Holy Spirit of God. That's all right. It says, all through life's journey, it says, from earth to glory, I only ask to be. You know what gave rise to that song? He wants to be in the perfect will of God. He wants to walk with Christ. Hallelujah. He wants to follow his instruction. Hallelujah. You see? That is the desire of every Christian. Brethren, if you want to go to heaven, there are two ways before you. One is narrow, is straight. That is the description. He said, the other one is wide. This one is few that findeth it. The other one is wide. The gate is wide. The road, the way is broad. He said, many there be that go in there. See, they already go in. See, the language. Let's read it, please. Matthew 7, verse 13.
Enter ye in at the straight gate. Uh-huh. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction.
It leadeth to destruction.
And many there be which go in.
Now, that is the language I'm looking for. Many there be that goeth therein. They are already going in. But now, the next verse.
Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way.
Narrow is the way.
Which leadeth unto life.
That way leads to life.
And few there be that find.
Now listen. He didn't say few there be that entering therein. He said few there be that find it. You can find something, but it's another to enter. You have seen the truth. That what we are preaching in this ministry is the truth. You found this ministry. But have you entered? That is why he said in Matthew 3, verse 3, John 3, verse 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see. It is one thing to see, but if you are going to enter, you have to be born of the Spirit, water and the Spirit. Spirit in verse 5. John 3 verse 5.
Verily, verily, I say unto thee.
Yes.
Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter.
You have seen it, but to enter, there is a process. There is a process. Make sure you enter. Don't just see it. Some of us see it and we preach it. We preach, but you can preach it like a professor of mechanical engineering, but he has not been able to produce engine oil, piston, kickstarter, but he knows how everything works, but he cannot produce it. Professor, especially in Nigerian universities. Praise God. You have not seen medical doctors that are smokers. But he can teach you the anatomy of a human being and tell you the damage that cigarette can cause to your health. He has studied it, he's even a doctorate degree in it. But while he's attending his patient, he's smoking. How has his knowledge benefited him? So it is when you find this truth concerning the rapture. Listen very well. It is the pull from earth to glory. Let's go a little deeper. There are two things here. Listen, there are two things that are done here. Number one is that it is the process by which you get a convert. There are two stages of this pools. The first one is what William Branham told us the angel educated him on. He used, when you see, he told Peter, "Peter, follow me and I'll make you what? A fisher of men." So if he said, make him a fisher of men, oh glory be to God. Hallelujah. And he took time to even teach Peter how to fish. The angel taught William Branham. He said, when you want to go and catch a fish in a river, every fisherman that goes want to catch a big fish. Your prayer as you are going is to catch a big fish. These fishes, oh glory be to God. Hallelujah. These fishes is referring to converts. Converts. Christians. Predestinated seeds of God. What do? You won't just throw a hook, because this predestinated seed of God, they have a nature. It's not everything they run after. Rather than jump up and down, they will sit down at home. They are not the people that are looking for church to attend. They are looking for where there is truth. There is something inside of them that make them jump from one church to the other, from one church to the other. They don't have a resting place. There is something their soul is empty of. They want it for. You cannot. If they are not the type that run after miracle signs and wonders, they're not. So if you are going to preach to them, should they do? If you are going for evangelism, amen. Remember that you are going to meet the real fish outside there. Each time you make noise, they are still coming to look at you. They are the, don't you meet some people that face you, asking you questions? While you go, Sister Choma, Sister Rose, and those who go out with you, when you are using that gift to attract them, when they come, the gift, they will just come and look. When they come, did they tell you, see vision for me? They will tell you this thing that you wrote in this your tract. Are you sure there's a church that believes this thing? That is the big fish. But there are some also that will say, I beg, where this kind of church today? I beg. Maybe Nadia, my problem will solve. They are looking for where their problem will solve. So because the type of fishes are there, you will not go with naked hook. You will not go with doctrine. You will start to attract them with your doctrine. It will not, when you are making a joko, and all the noise, what they make for streets, they don't come. This one, they don't get apron. This one, they come, they don't get apron. They don't come. Let them be that. Amen. So there must be a hook, a bait. Yes, sir. Fishermen will pack worm, pack waiting, and then they will cover the hook. Hallelujah. They will cover the hook. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. There is a song in our Hebrew that says, there is honey in the rock, my brother.
That's right.
There is honey in the rock for you. Lay your faith for the blood to cover. There is honey in the rock for you. You know what brought about that song? The sheep that the shepherd is leading, whenever they have problems, Amen. What normally cures them is on that lime rock. The lime there on that rock is the healing substance for their sickness. Amen. But the sheep will not lick that lime to receive healing. So they will spread something that they will like a honey on the rock. And the sheep is having pain in the stomach for eating some poison. When he see it, he just see that it is food. It's not going to cure the problem. He saw something sweet and he will go and start licking it. In the course of licking it, he will lick that lime. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That is the honey on the rock. And that honey, praise the Lord. The rock is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Amen. There's healing in him. There's deliverance in him. Hallelujah. When you have problem, you think you are running to come for your problem. You're coming for miracle signs and wonders. The greatest sickness that is disturbing man is the sickness of sin. The cause of sin. When you come to lick the miracle signs and wonders, behind that bait, behind that worm that the fisherman throws, is a hook. Hallelujah. And when that hook hooks you, amen, you can't go back again. Oh, glory be to God. And so how do you do it? There are pools. You will throw that fishing bait with a hook inside. The first people, fishes that we call are these small fishes. Anything that shakes inside water and food. If not wood, you throw inside itself. As you throw wood, you go rock, and chop. Anything, move there, anything. Anywhere they hear there is a revival going on. Amen. Anything. There are ministers that have left here before. When they leave and go, you will see those time of fishes here. They will run and follow them. It is when they get there later on, they are waiting again for the next minister that will leave bright. When they leave, they will run again. That's how they will be moving up and down. What are they looking for? They are looking for something that they can eat. Miracle signs and wonders. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But the big fish will not come. The big fish, when these small ones are happening, that is why, ministers, listen, those of you who will want to go and start your church, and those of you listening to me, anytime you go to start a church, the real members are not the first people that come to the ministry. I don't know if you're understanding me. I will tell you more during the ministers' conference. I have enough experience to teach that. Just go to Ijesha bus stop and put a canopy and be clapping hands. Somebody will come and sit down with you. Amen. And that is where a lot of pastors make mistakes, but let me not go into that. We'll handle that in the ministers' conference. Praise the Lord. What they are coming is to attract, to cause attraction. When they come, they will run. The big fish stays far to look at what is happening. Amen. Then, since they are looking, then you have the second pool. You pull it a little bit from where those small fishes are. Pull it a little bit higher so that the fish, the big fish, can see that through there is food there. There is something real there. Because everything will be food. Some wood fall there. Be sure that it is no wood. Be sure that no be nylon fall there. Be sure that no be waste from one chemical factory. Now they pour there, you eat, finish, you die. You want to be sure which type of food is there. The fish. Then the fish. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now, when you are sure, you have seen it. Philip findeth Nathanael. Eh? He ran after he went and saw. He ran to Nathanael. Am I correct? Eh? I'm correct. What did he say? Come and see whom we have found. What did Nathanael, the big fish, what did he say?
Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?
Can any good thing come out of Ejesha? Another one again for Ejesha. What did Philip say?
Philip said unto him, come and see.
Come and see. Hallelujah. When he said, come and see, oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Philip came. Remember, the first pool was healing, deliverance, healing, deliverance, healing, deliverance. That is the pool of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, his ministry. Healing and deliver, everybody rushed and came. Then he graduated to discernment. That by the time he said, come and see, immediately he said, Nathanael. What did Jesus say?
Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, a womb is no guile.
Behold what?
An Israelite indeed.
Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. That is the big fish.
Nathanael said unto him,
yes?
Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him,
and began to discern him. Yes.
Before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee.
Again.
Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee.
Before Philip went to call you.
When thou was under the fig tree.
When you were under the fig tree.
I saw thee.
I saw you. What happened?
Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of
God.
Oh,
he has been looking for him. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. He has been looking for the Son of God. Because Theodius came one time, Gamaliel said so. He pulled crowds. That one faded away. Another one called Judas came again with his own crowd. That's how he led thousands of people. They perish. Gamaliel says so. So, is this one of them? But when he saw the original discernment, that only God can know where he was seated when Philip came. The same thing happened with the woman at the well. That is what will attract now the big fish to come. He's still coming to see God. Oh, glory be to God. Then the angel said, it is at this point that you prepare for the third pool. The third pool that will pull him away from unbelief. Pull him away from the denomination. Pull him away from every error. Pull him away from the world of sin. Is the word. That is why you will not give him the word. Because that is what will keep him. I told ministers that have come to me for counseling. I don't know why my church is not growing. People come to me and I pray for them. When they receive testimony, they go away, they don't come back. And I told them, I say, no hospital is a permanent address for anybody. There is no hospital that is a permanent address for anybody. Everybody, you remember your medical doctor only when you are sick. Amen. If you make your ministry a problem-solving ministry only, then people will be coming there for only problem-solving. And a lot of these so-called ministers who say they are ministers, who say they have ministries, they create ministries only for solving problems. Once in a week, They gather for program. They jump from place to place. What are they doing? Prophecy, healing, deliverance. I don't have church, I only have ministry. Where do you see that pattern in the Bible? They can come from anywhere. They call it interdenominational. That means you can come from your church, come from anywhere. You see anybody operating that type of ministry, it is either of these two reasons responsible for it. One is ignorant of what he's supposed to do with his gift. Where he's supposed to operate that gift. How he's supposed to operate that gift. Or he's looking for the tithe and offering they'll be bringing. Food to eat. No such. How can you say everybody come and then the way they come, your own is just do deliverance. They vomit, give them prophecy, they do this. We meet again next week, same time. Then on Sunday, go to your churches. Which ministry is that? How can you be a minister without a focus, without a purpose? You can come from Catholic, you can come from Methodist, you can come from Pentecostal, you can come anywhere, just come. When they want to look like us, they will say, tell them not to come in here with a ring. Let them cover their hair. Of course, now, they will drop the earring, cover their hair now. And then, after all, you are not going to talk about it. If that is the condition to enter your hospital, we will enter, let us receive our healing. Then when they go finish, they wear their thing and go back. And anybody that passes through this ministry and oppresses anything like that, there you know where you belong. Because you didn't learn that from here. And they are quick to say, Pastor Moses is my father in the Lord. I know my children. Yes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It is the word. So that is the third pool. You can see the first pool, the second pool. First pool, healing and deliverance, the evangelist goes with it. The second pool that we pull the true fish, the big fish, is, amen. That is where you see discernment. With the discernment, the big fish will come because where they see God, they identify with it. Only God can do this. But if you are going to keep them in your ministry, the purpose for which God gave you that gift, you're going to pull them out to Christ Jesus. Bring them to Christ Jesus. Then give them the word.
Hallelujah.
That is what catches the real fish. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So you see, that is catching fish. But now let's see the second part, this mystery now. You see, it is a mystery. This God is wonderful. Everything he does is by a process. Now, let's look at the agenda. This is for the individual. What I've spoken now is for the individual. Now, for the church of Jesus Christ, from the day of Pentecost until now, catch it. That's where we are going now. He has been in the process of harvesting his people from the earth here till we go in glory. He's pulling them out. That pulling his church out to glory is what we're looking at also. The rapture pulls. Remember that in John chapter 12, verse 23, if you read it up to verse 33. In fact, let's read it for emphasis.
And Jesus answered them saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat...
Take note.
The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified.
That the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Okay. I'll preach a message, the glorification of the believer, later on. Let's read on.
Verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone.
This is a principle that the church is going through This verse 24, except a corn of wheat, a seed, when it falls into the ground, it must first die. If it doesn't die, that seed will remain alone. He said, and yet he called it the time for his glorification. Now see it. But when that seed die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Christ is the only begotten Son of God. But he is the first among many brethren. Hallelujah. If God is going to harvest more sons from this earth, hallelujah, he described Christ as the first begotten from the dead. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. All have sinned and fallen short of glory. Falling short of the glory of God. We are all in an estate of death. Death sentence was over us. For him to harvest life, bring them back to life, the life is in him. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. A new creation is about to start. The first creation was through Adam in the Garden of Eden. This new, but all of them died. All that came out from Adam died. A new, another Adam has to come. And that Adam, hallelujah, that Adam is going to produce other children. That is why Jesus is referred to in Isaiah 9, chapter 9, verse 6, as our everlasting Father. Because he gave birth to us in this new creation. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. But the law is that if God is going to have more children through Christ, he must first die. That is why his only begotten Son, he had to make him die so that he can have more children. Except a corn of wheat fall to the ground. Can we read it?
Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die.
And die.
It abideth alone.
It will abide alone.
But if it die.
But if he die, then what happened?
It bringeth forth much fruit.
Uh-huh. Go on.
He that loveth his life shall lose it.
Now, if you, and I hope you know these motivational speakers, they caught that principle. That is the truth. The last thing you should do is to consume all your harvest. You must leave some for the next season. You must sow. The best thing that can happen to you, if all the money you have, all the money you have, amen, don't consume it on yourself. Don't take it to go and buy gari and kuli kuli and eat and say, let us die. No. That is the principle with the Shunammite woman, that the woman, the widow of Zarephath. All that she had, you want it to multiply, don't consume it on yourself. Make it for somebody first. Give it out. Give it as an offering. And we saw that practical here last Friday night. Hallelujah. It's a principle we learn. It was not for that woman. It is for everybody. I was standing here when the Lord spoke to me that there's somebody here, the last money you have on you is 200 naira. You did not drop offering because that is all you have. That is what you will use for your transport back home. Amen. And the truth, didn't even have anything else at home with children, twins at home, nothing. What will you eat? They had 200. And see the way God will do it. She heard about how much she had, more than that 200. She was coming. She saw a beggar on the road. And then the Spirit of God told her, say, go and give her offering. Ah, this is all I have. Ah, go give her. He said the thing, spoke three times, throw them hardly. He said, which can't be this now? He gave. Why will God want, amen, why will God want to bless her? And he said, give. The mystery of offering is deep. Amen. Hallelujah. And she came, and you people know, after she dropped that 200, you know, she left at the end of the service. She said she needed only 30,000 naira to start a business. And she left here with 100 and 175,000 naira. When God was using it, it's not for her, it's to teach us a principle. That is why the Christian faith is a sacrificial faith. The principle of life is that something must die for something else to have life. It's a principle. He said, he that loves his life, the next verse.
He that loveth his life shall lose it.
You will lose it. You will feel frustration, nothing more. Uh-huh.
And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me.
If any man will serve me, Jesus, let him follow me.
And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour.
You see?
Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that an angel said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, shall draw all men unto me.
Glory be to God. If I be lifted up from the earth, and he was talking about his death, it is there he will draw. That is the pool. He will now pull you unto himself. But this is the principle. That seed will fall and die. Then there is a process it will undergo to produce much more fruit. And what we're talking about is the church of Jesus Christ. The church, which is that seed, was planted on the day of Pentecost. That is what we see in Acts chapter 2. Amen. But when in AD 325, according to the church history, that meeting, the trouble that was going on between two factions, believers of the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, more than 300 years after the resurrection, after what happened on the day of Pentecost. More than 300 years, hallelujah, Satan hijacked it. And there was that compromise meeting that married paganism with Christianity. And with it, that church that was given birth to on the day of Pentecost, it died. It died. Fulfilling the parable that Jesus Christ gave in Matthew 13 and verse 33, that parable of that woman that took leaven and mixed it with 3 measures of meal until the whole meal was leavened. What is this 3 measures of meal? That the 3 works of grace, justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. That woman is that symbolic woman of Revelation chapter 17 that is described as a whore, mystery, Babylon, and all, mother of harlots, and all the abominations of the earth. It is that Roman church that produced the dark ages, the whole, the whole Christian doctrines, apostolic faith corrupted, and the church died. That produced that black horse rider in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 5 and verse 6. That is the dark Antichrist spirit that produced the dark ages that lasted for about 1,000 years. Praise the Lord. But it will not remain like that forever. It is following a law of life. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. That is what you saw in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 6. The parable of the virgins that slept. Read it from verse 1.
Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins.
Yes.
Which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wives took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried.
While the bridegroom tarried.
They all slumbered and slept.
All the virgins, the Christians, they slumbered and...
And at midnight, there was a cry made.
They slept.
Behold, the
Again. When was it?
And at midnight.
Midnight, the middle of the night, the darkest hour of the Christian faith. Imagine 1,000 years, nobody had access to truth, to Bible, nothing. All they believed was just the Roman Catholic doctrines. 1,000 years later, the rapture started. The rapture, the pools started. What? How will this pool start? Verse 6 again.
And at midnight. There was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh.
When he said cry, it means it was a loud and clear message. It was a ministry. Shouting the coming of the Lord. The bridegroom cometh. Go ye out of darkness. Go ye out of your error. And meet him.
Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps.
Then that is when the restoration ministry started. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That is exactly what Apostle Paul was talking about, the process for the rapture. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4.
For the Lord himself shall descend.
This is how he will come. Let's read it from verse 13 just to get the picture clearly.
But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep.
Yes.
That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope.
When somebody is dead.
For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him.
He will come with him from the grave, yes.
For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord.
This is thus saith the Lord.
That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep.
We will not stop them who are asleep from also coming up, yes?
For the Lord himself shall...
This is how you will come. Church, listen. Have you ever had any GO preaching 1 Thessalonians 4:16? You don't know the opportunity we have to understand these scriptures. They will never understand it because it's only for the bride. I didn't say Brother Assembly Church. I didn't say it's for Brother Assembly Church. There are people that are inside Brother Assembly Church that are not part of the bride of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. I know better than to say because you come to Brother Assembly, therefore you will go in the rapture. Why would I deceive myself to that level? Fire on.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout.
This is how you will come to take his people up. The pool will start with what?
A shout.
A shout. That is the beginning. Amen. What is this shout? The shout is saying something. What is it saying? It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to verse 18. Read it. This is the shout.
Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers.
This is the message, and it is the end time message. Yes?
For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?
You see? But they have been having communion for the past 1,000 years. Yes?
And what concord at Christ with Belial? Or what part at he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement at the temple of God with idols?
Because if you go to Catholic Church, idols will fool everywhere. The biggest one and the most noted one is Mary, Mother of God. Every Catholic Church has a shrine in front of them. In front of the church. Where they go to bow before. And do all the things they do there according to their religion. It is idol. What part has... Read it again.
And what agreement at the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living
we
God.
We are the temple of the living God.
As God has said, I will dwell in
he
them.
He dwells in you, and you become the temple of God.
And walk in them.
He will walk with us, he will guide us, he will lead us, yes.
I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore?
Now, this is the message.
Come out from among them.
That is the shout. That is the midnight cry. Come out from error. Come out from among them and
be ye separate.
Separate.
Saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing.
And what will happen?
And I will receive you. And will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters. Saith the Lord 18, Almighty.
Hallelujah. Come out. That is the shout. Now that shout, oh glory be to God. I say it again. It's the beginning of the pools for the rapture. If I have been lifted up, I will draw, I will pull all men unto me. That where I am, you may be also. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And then, remember that everything that pertaining to this pool, he wrote them, he spoke them by parables. To make you understand this parable again of this pool, amen. Another parable is this Mark chapter 4 and verse 26.
And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground,
yes,
and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself.
Of herself at the appointed time. That seed that was planted will begin to come out in stages. What is the first stage? That seed that fell down and died, though. The seed fell down and died. Now the life wants to come back again. It comes back on its own because it is a divine agenda of God himself. What is the first thing that come out?
First, the blade.
That is the first pool.
Then the ear.
The second pool.
After that, the full corn in
that
the
ear. That is the third pool. Oh, but glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Go ahead.
But when the fruit is brought forth,
when the perfection takes place,
immediately he put it in the sickle.
The rapture takes place.
Because the harvest is come.
Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So this is it. It is nothing but the restoration of the church that died at Nicaea Council, AD 325. There are three pools, but the present truth is that the first pool is gone, the second pool is gone. Hallelujah. We are products of the third pool. Oh, glory be to God. Amen. The revival that springs from the third pool. That first pool was spoken in a parable in that same Matthew 13 and verse 44. Matthew 13.
Again. The yes. Kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field.
Treasure, something very valuable is hidden in a field. See, it's a parable. Who will ever understand this? They will use this and preach prosperity.
The which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof, goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth.
That is the story of Luther, where he found that treasure that the just shall live by. That is the first response to the shout. Come out of her, my people. And we know the history of how Luther led the Protestant movement that has gone on till today. And that is when that beast was wounded. Amen. But that beast will be healed again. Amen. According to the book of Revelation. And so, to pull the children of God out of darkness on our way to the glory land. The journey from earth to glory. Luther started it, and that is him fulfilling that verse 44 after the mixture in verse 33. Then from verse 45 of Matthew 13, 45 and verse 46.
Again,
is the next one after Luther. That is, so Luther fulfilled the blade that jumped up. Now the next thing is the ear, yes?
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls.
Yes.
Who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had.
He sold all, that is, all the false error doctrines that he had before. He put them away.
And bought it.
And bought it. That is the story of John Wesley. The pearl of great price is holiness, without which no man will see God. That is the doctrine for sanctification. That is is it the ear now that burst out?
Yeah.
The ear, that is the second stage of that plant. That is the restoration of the second work of grace. Amen. But remember, it is not yet a rapture. No. It is only the process of life traveling through that trunk until the same seed that was planted is formed again. Then the harvest takes place, the rapture. That is the mystery I want you to understand. That's why Christ has not come. Yes, they thought, yeah, Christ is coming. Luther thought Christ is coming. He wouldn't even answer them. He's in his business of restoration. You have seen the light of your day, and everyone that responded to that is the bride for that age. And then he moved on again to sanctification. Then the third pool is verse 47 to verse 50.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away.
Amen. This third pool is now the one that concerns us. This third pool, he said, it is a fishing net that was cast, a gather of every kind. When it was time for justification, miracle signs and wonders did not follow. Only serious people that needed the truth. And that is the time that Bible colleges were established, so that people will see what is written in the Bible and see their errors in the Catholic doctrines. Then, oh glory be to God, it now moved to Pentecost. We are all manner of anointing. This is where you see the parable of false prophets shall arise, false Christ shall arise, that the false anointed ones. Oh, this anointing will attract all manner of people. What happens?
Which when it was full.
When that net was full with all manner of people, cockroach in there, tortoise in there, water snake in there, wood in there, nylon in there, everything, even octopus in there, electric fish in there, broker fish in there, crayfish in there, all manner of things. But the net was for fish. But they have to draw them to the shore.
They drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels.
There will be separation.
But cast the bad away.
There will be separation.
So shall it be at the end of the world.
At the end, and we are now at the end.
The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. And shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth.
This will take place in this age. That is what I want to prove to you. We will understand it from the story of Esther. We will understand and get to know these characters called who does the seven chamberlains, who does Esther represent? The book of Esther is the book of redemption.
Amen.
A story that we see a perfect type of what God is doing in his church. Each of these characters represents something, just like in the Garden of Eden. Adam represented something under grace now. Eve represents something under grace. Serpent represents something under grace. Cain represents something under grace. Abel represents something under grace. They are all a type a shadow of the real thing, which we shall see manifesting in the church of Jesus Christ. So also the book of Esther. This character, Vashti, Ahasuerus, King Ahasuerus represents something. Queen Vashti represents something. And the Medes represent something. Now this special maiden called Esther represents something. Haggai, seven chamberlains. There are seven chamberlains that served in the king's palace. They represent something. There is another set of seven chamberlains again that, glory be to God, that also represents something. Hallelujah. There are two particular chamberlains that represent something. Haggai represents something. That chamberlain called Haggai represents something. And another one called Shaashgaz represents something. Hallelujah. They are all having to do with these pools. All this together, our focus will be on Esther that became the queen instead of Vashti. We will continue with that next Sunday. But we are marching to Zion. We are marching to Zion, brethren. We are marching to Zion. We are marching to Zion.
Come we that love the Lord. Let the joy be known. Join.
unscriptural song. I heard it. No, sir, you are not rightly dividing the word of truth. Yes, the Bible says when you come to Christ, you have come to Mount Zion. Hallelujah. The city of God. Hallelujah. But there is also the journey from earth to Zion.